To hear this morning, and even Brother Finley, good to see him too.
Amen.
That's right. That's good. It's good to see y'all. And again, I'm thankful to be here. Been real excited about how the Lord has kind of put things together for the message. Sometimes I guess look at things as, is this something I'm wanting to study, or is this something that the Lord is doing? And I believe with all my heart, this is something that the Lord has put together, because I think it's something that every single person in here can and will benefit from. Been thinking a lot about it. I'll just go ahead and ask you this. How many of you have a good memory? That's exactly what I thought. Amen. I don't either, you know. Everybody's like, no, I don't. I saw a video earlier this week, and it really, I guess, it's funny how God puts things together, I guess, in my heart, how I see things. And it was a little, you know, short video, how they have, I guess, Instagram or whatever. And it was this girl, she's about my age, I think, you know, 50s, I guess, you know, and it was a song probably came out in the 90s. And she's listening to it on the radio driving down the road. And she was singing that song. I mean, every word, didn't miss a beat. It was fast. It was kind of like a rap, hip-hop kind of thing. And she's rattling it off, and she's kind of, the subtitle says, "Isn't it amazing that I can memorize or remember this song from 20 years ago, but I couldn't tell you what happened last week, or I couldn't tell you happened just the other day?" And, you know, here's the thing about memorization. It's something that doesn't just happen. You have to put some time, some energy, some effort into it. I remember growing up, you know, maybe songs I liked, I'd play that song over and over and over. And for some reason, I thought it was important that I was able to sing along with it on the radio, because that's all I could do with it. But I knew the song, you know, I mean, kind of put it together like that. But how frivolous in the scheme of things that is versus what the Word of God truly is. How many of you have any verses memorized in the Bible? Amen. It's okay to raise your hand. That's good. You have a lot of verses? How many verses do you think you have memorized? Brother Finley, we'll get to you later. You're in the advanced class. Amen. We'll get to how many books of the Bible do you have memorized in a little bit. Amen. Just chapters. Amen. Amen. That's a good start, brother. That's a good start. You know, kind of looking at it and thinking a whole lot about that. You know, a lot of times what I remember as a child in school, in Sunday school, that's what they would do. They'd have us memorize a verse, and then you'd get up and say it. And that was the hard part, trying to get it started. You know, if you could get it started, sometimes you could do pretty good. But I remember as a little fella looking out at the crowd and everybody smiling and amen, and you know, like that was good, and it is. But you know, verse memorization just isn't for little kids. Sister Sue, it's for every single one of us. You don't grow out of needing to memorize verses. You know, something I have learned and what I've realized too is, if Brother Curtis is up opening up and he starts reading a verse or starts reading it, I can follow along and start quoting it sometimes after he starts reading it. But Sister Janet, if somebody said, quote this verse, I couldn't necessarily. But after I hear it, then I'm like, okay, I know how that goes. And then I can kind of pick up after hearing it. That's not necessarily having it memorized. You know, what I've learned is, I put a little study into this week. What I've learned is you're supposed to be able to actually give the verse, the like say John 3:16, and then you recite it, and then you say John 3:16 after that, like the official way to do it. If you're really, you know, going to take this serious and you're going to do it the right way, you give the chapter and verse, you say it, and then you give the chapter and verse again. If we're going to be professionals at it, let's say it that way. And that's something that the Lord has really laid on my heart. Because I've looked back over the years and been pastoring, preaching many years, but I remember some of the preachers I've heard get up and preach, and it's like they could just go off. I'm like, my goodness, I wish I could do that, Brother Patrick. I wish I could do that. I don't play guitar. I don't do this or do that, and all those kind of things or what have you. But I'm like, I wish I could do that. Why can't I do that? And the simple answer is, Brother Norman, I hadn't applied myself. Period. Now, you know, there's some verses I've memorized. I remember when I first ran to preach, I went and I purchased some cards, little postcards. And what I would do on the back of it, I'd put the verse, like say John 3:16 on the back. And then I'd write the verse on the other side and I'd try to memorize verses. And here's the thing, it's important that we're able to do that. How many of you been to Vacation Bible School? We'll start here this morning. We'll get into it. Amen. I see a lot of hands going up. That's good. And, you know, what is one of the pledges that we do? Remember the pledge to the Bible? You know, say that as little kids, but I'm serious. Sister Chelsea, I'm guilty because I say the pledge too. But how many of you know that pledge? That's how I want to open up this morning. If you will, stand with me. We'll open up this way this morning. I think it'd be good for us to, we'll stand for just a minute. And if you got your Bible with you, let's take your Bible. You know, when you do the pledge to the American flag, we do this, right? Well, I think it'd be good if we do this morning. Let's hold our Bible over our heart this morning. And I'll help you out. I've got it written down. I think I got it memorized, but I get nervous when I get in front of people, so I got it written down. But let's say the pledge to the Bible together, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started this morning. All right? It says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, just thanking you so much for your word and allowing us to be here together. God, I thank you for everyone that's in attendance here today. God, I pray this be a blessing. I pray it be an encouragement, Lord, that would help every single one of us. Lord, there's nobody here that cannot benefit from what this message talks about, what it teaches, and what it says to us. And God, I just pray that you help each one, whatever it is that they're going through, many families and many different situations, serious situations that folks are going through, God. And I just pray that you let this message be a blessing and a help, Lord, to them. Lord, I pray for those that are lost. God, I pray that you help them, God, convict them, help them to see their need of a Savior. Lord, how dangerous it is to remain in a lost state after realizing that they're lost. God, I just pray that you help those hearts and convict them. Go with me, Father. Go with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I thought it was interesting to look at God's Word on a few different things, commandments, and what it teaches us along these lines this morning. And then also, just some statistical data that goes along with things that kind of puts things in perspective. Kind of helps us, I think, look at things. If we set out to do something, you know, the Bible tells us to count the cost. And we can look at things sometimes when you go to build a building, go to do something, you think, well, if I'm going to start doing this on a regular basis, how much time is it going to take? How much energy is it going to take? How much effort is it going to take? And it's important that we look at that this morning just for a few minutes. But that pledge that we just said this morning, that's actually from 1925. I looked it up, and the person who has been credited to that is a Southern Baptist pastor. His name's Homer Grice. But it's coming from Psalm 119 and 11, verse 11. It says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thought that was very good because part of that pledge it says, and hide its words in my heart. And I don't know, for whatever reason this week, this probably would have been great for an opening message for VBS, but this is how the Lord laid it on my heart this week. I had that portion of the pledge on my heart most of the week. And just thinking about what that means. And the title this morning is Hiding God's Word in Our Hearts. Hiding God's Word in Our Hearts. I think sometimes we do look at the Bible, and I'm not saying that we misuse it. I think sometimes there's a lot of misuse of it. I think there's a lot of misplacement with the Word of God, because if the Word of God is at home on a shelf, it's not doing you any good in your heart. It's not doing me any good. I've heard it said like this: we don't know what we don't know. Once you learn something, you become accountable to it, accountable for it. But if you don't know it, you don't know it. If you're doing something wrong and you don't know it's wrong, you don't know that, that kind of thing. Or if something needs to be in a recipe and you don't have the recipe and you're just trying to figure it out, that's one thing. But here's the thing about the Word of God. God has already given it to us in its fulfillment. It's here. He's already given it to us. If we are not taking that and placing that within us, it's not His fault. That comes back to us. That falls back on us, our responsibility. Once God has given it to us, given us His Word, it's our responsibility to do something with it. It's not a bad thing to be able to, go home. I know we have phones and apps and things now, and so the Bible is probably more readily available than it ever has been before. And you think about circumstances and situations like, oh, I left my Bible at home today, but this person needs to talk to me and I don't have it with me, but I can pull this up. I can look it up real quick. And then what happens in your mind is you start thinking, now where is that? Well, Google probably simplified some things for us, but you got to be careful when you start Googling and make sure you're in the right book, the right version, because sometimes, that don't sound right. You got to make sure you're in the right page, in the right context. You can get messed up. But hiding God's words in our heart, what does that mean? Now, I looked up the word hide. That means to protect. That means to keep in safety. There is no safer place that you can hide the Word of God, Brother Ben, than in your heart, than right in here. And consequently, that's exactly, Brother Curtis, where God wants you to hide it. He doesn't want us to hide it at home. Home's a valuable place. Home's a serious place. The Word of God don't need to be hidden at home. It needs to be out and open at home, doesn't it? But it needs to be hidden in our hearts. It needs to be open. It needs to be right there where we can have it readily available. I think sometimes talking to people, especially as a pastor, preacher, Brandy and I have talked about this a lot, and just different people, sometimes it's like, I don't know what to say. You go into a bad situation, it's like, I don't know what to say. The child of God should have at least Bible verses to say. Under just about any given circumstance, any given situation, good times, bad times, easy times, hard times, there should be verses hidden in our heart that we can pull out and that we can use. I used to kind of think about it like this. Some people say, well, I have a photographic memory. I can remember things. I don't. For me to memorize something, I have to put effort into it. And I'm not talking about just short-term memory stuff. That's something I've thought about too in studying this. There's times that we've taken classes. I know there's times that for law enforcement classes, for insurance, taking classes, some of this stuff's hard. Some of it isn't common sense. Some of it is you have to know what it's saying. You have to know the formulas. You have to know specifics. But what I really find interesting is that you will put the time and energy into it if you want to. Most of what I find in Christian life is it's what you choose to do, what you want to do, what you make a priority. People will spend their time doing, for the most part, what they want to do. So I don't want to go to work. Yeah, I don't want to go to work all the time. No, but you want to receive that money to do the things that you want to do with it. There's a payback for that. You spend time doing what you want to do. The time that you have outside of work, you, for the most part, probably do what you want to do or what you have prioritized to do. So it comes back to us. We can pray for a lot of things. We can ask God to help us and do this and do that for us. But in reality, a lot of things God intends for us to do for ourselves. His work's finished. He's done His work. Jesus did His work on the cross. He helps us and He guides us, but He wants us to take things to heart and do things. Now, there's a couple other verses I want us to look at, but why should we memorize Scripture? I'm a note taker. I'm a writer. I write things down constantly. That's just the way I have always been. It helps me if I hear it, helps me if I see it, and it helps me if I write it down. I have a better chance of remembering something if I write it down. So I don't get up and like read sermons. I don't write everything out and then try to read it to you. But I put notes down so I can revert back to it, because if you make a funny face and I lose my train of thought, Brother J.W., I want to be able to go back to where I was. It's like I was telling Brother Curtis, I've had dreams before. I've been up here preaching just like this. I've been up here and I had dreams. I'm up here and you're looking at me and I'm looking at you and nobody's saying nothing. And man, it feels real. And I'm like, somebody say something. Somebody do something. What? And I don't know what to say. I guess it's a fear that I have. But that's why I like to take notes. It helps me to keep my train of thought. But I tell you, if you start memorizing things and you have it in here, how much more powerful is that? How much more special is that? Why should we memorize Scripture? Memorization equals meditation. Think about, I spent a little time looking at that, and thank God he lined this out in my heart for me, not only my mind, but in my heart. But the Bible tells us to meditate on His Word, doesn't it? Well, Brother Finley, that tells me that's memorization. You know, if you think about, I used the example before about work. It's like I'm going into this line of work, this field of work, and I have to know these things. And I've even heard teachers say this, instructors say, well, memorize this for at least till you can get it on the page for your test. Memorize this at least that long. Well, you need to memorize it longer than that. There's things that we need to know. It's not converting to short-term memory and keeping it here. We're talking about life decisions that are made from right here in our hearts. The importance of what the Bible says. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, just for a second. Maybe stay here for just a little bit. I think it really puts in perspective some things. It does for me. Why should we memorize Scripture? Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And it begins off by saying here, and it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Man, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. I was reading this and I was like, well, my goodness, you're cutting into my phone time. You're cutting into my own screen time if you're going to talk about, I mean, you're cutting into my personal time when you're saying this kind of stuff here. But you know, still yet we do what we want to do. That's what we do. Time is ticking. Time is passing. Nobody can stop time from running, and we shouldn't try. I mean, we're not trying to stop time from moving, but time is taking off, and once it takes off, it doesn't stop. It keeps going until we enter into eternity, and there's no time there because that's forever and ever and ever. But God has given us time as far as what we have. During this dispensation on earth, we have time. But look what the Bible says about how we are supposed to spend our time. I don't say this right here. Usually don't use maybe examples like this, but I thought it was fitting because Brandy and I, it's fresh on my mind, and it kind of applies here. So Brandy was talking. We were watching the new Little House on the Prairie came out. You know, we figured that's something safe to watch. If you ever watched the old Little House and the new Little House, and I was like, I don't know. We started watching it, but it was pretty good. Not exactly like what I remember, but it was pretty good. One of the things that Brandy said, she said, you know, what I see that's kind of different here? She said, the children are so nice. And she said, they're so like respectful and so nice, and just everything is so wholesome. That's the word we use, wholesome. But what they would do during parts of the episode, and if you ever watched Little House growing up, it kind of follows some of those things. Well, what they spent their time doing was with their family, and they were actually singing songs, reading the Bible, talking about things like that. And I'm like, that's what this verse is talking about. Do our families do that today? You're talking, what, 100 years ago-ish, maybe, that was? You look at how life was not that long ago, what society was like not that long ago, and look what it's like today. There's been an abandonment of the Word of God, clearly, plainly. And, you think about a house that never had it, that didn't, people don't go to church, what have you, that didn't have it. But you take it out of people who grew up in church, you take it out of their home and the children that they're bringing up, this society is pretty telling. We know the world is going to wax worse and worse, but the church isn't supposed to wax worse and worse, is it? And the great falling away will happen, but guess what? You don't have to fall away. You don't have to. I don't have to. We have a choice. You can stand there for God until the very end if you want to. But it says here, this is a commandment that God is giving, that's given to us. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, not on our bookshelf, not in an app on our phone to pull out and read for just a minute and then put it back and forget it. See, words like that are not in our hearts. I've read instruction manuals long enough to put a chair together, struggle through it, get it done, and it's done, but I couldn't go back and tell you what's in that instruction manual. The Bible's an instruction manual for life. Nobody here is going to ever outgrow that. Nobody. There's no stage of life that we find ourselves in that's like, you know what? I don't need the Word of God anymore. I've got it all right here. I don't need it anymore. Nobody will ever reach that state. I found it out as a young person growing up, wanting to learn more about God, learning more after accepting God as my Savior, Jesus as my Savior, trying to learn more. The only way you could do that is getting in the Word of God. And growing up and getting married, being a parent, and starting to have a family, I need that instruction. I need that wisdom. And then as a parent, and then also now as being a father-in-law and what have you, having people coming up behind me, I need to be able to instruct them, help them. There's times that we're not going to know everything, of course, but there's times we should have things already in here that we don't have to go and look for. We need to be more confirmed on some things in the Word of God. Listened to a podcast yesterday, and it was talking about people that's been saved 25, 30 years, still on the milk of the Word. They take it, they read it, and they put it back. They don't instill it in their hearts. They don't take it to heart. Look at the emphasis that's given to us here. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. There's some urgency there. I need to teach you this. You need to know this. And there's some doing this deliberately because it's what people need to know. I am so afraid, and I see it everywhere. I've told Brandy about this. There has been such a push, seems like in recent months, of commercializing the church, publicizing the church, propaganda, all this kind of stuff. It's like they're trying to sell the church to the next generation. It's not for sale. The church has already been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know what it is. I think sometimes maybe it's done innocently, but it's an error. I'll tell you this, sometimes, and I heard this, they kind of mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, preachers get up and it's like, I got to tell these people something new that they haven't heard before. So maybe they'll listen to what I have to say. Well, guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. The Word of God isn't going to change. I'd be very afraid if the person that got up here to preach started telling you something different. I'd be very afraid because something's not right. If you've been hearing a steady diet of the Word of God, it doesn't change. It stays the same. You say, how do we reach our young people? Just like they were reached all throughout the history of the Bible. The same thing. It's not through sports, it's not through all these other things, it's through diligent teaching of the Word of God. If our children don't see the urgencies in our heart, it is our fault. How many times have you found yourself in a situation, I need help? And sometimes you go and you ask advice from people and what have you. You get opinions and what have you. If you want an absolute answer, you can go to the Word of God and God will give you an absolute answer. It might take you a little time of study to get there, but you know what? That's part of it. That's part of the blessing. That's part of why I say the fun, because it's in there. But for whatever reason, we want a quick fix, just like everything else in society, we want a quick fix, and we're satisfied with perception. And that's a place I don't want to be. I don't want my walk with Jesus to be something that is just perceived to be a certain way or what have you. To me, it's more personal than that. It's more important than that. The time that is actually being put here, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when you get home in the afternoon. And I'm guilty. I'm preaching to me. Get home in the afternoon and you unwind and what have you. How do you unwind? Maybe have the TV going. Maybe have the laptop on. Maybe have your phone on and kind of looking through things. Oh, look, here's another meme. See, that's your sitting down time. The Bible is plainly telling us this is what we need to be doing. I worry about our minds very, very much. There's a lot of things that we can't control in life, and I get that. I understand that. There's illnesses, sickness, and things that go on in our life, but you know there's things that we can do that shorten our memory span. If you look and you see kind of how things are going, and even if you're in, and Sister Carrie would know this, but if you're in like promotional work and what have you, the videos are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. If you don't catch somebody in about 2 to 3 seconds, you've already lost them. That's gone. And so if you're trying to sell something, if you're trying to promote something, they call it a hook. You've got to hook them in that first couple of seconds because people just do this. You know how easy it is to do that? I've already saw that. Oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, and you know what happens to our minds? Our minds get shorter and shorter and shorter every single time we do that. But yet we spend hours doing it. You know what that does to our minds? That is the direct opposite of what the Bible is teaching us to do here. For us to revert something to memory, it takes time. You can't do that to the Word of God and instill that in your brain. It's not going to work. I'm not going to say that memorizing verses and all this, I'm not going to say that is going to be an absolute cure for memory loss or anything like that, but I'll tell you this, I believe with all my heart, it won't hurt. I don't think it's going to hurt us. So many times, it's like, what? I don't know what to say. You go through, there's so many topics that you can find in the Word of God. You can look at anxiety, depression, salvation, just so many different things, and you can memorize verses along those lines and catalog it right here. Let's talk in today's terms. This isn't in the notes, I promise you, I'm not reading. Our minds, our brains are like hard drives. You know, and that's something that I have found storage can get expensive. The more work you do, Sister Carrie, the bigger the files get, the more it takes. And next thing you know, you've reached your limit. And it's like, you got to up it. You got to up it. That way you can keep that memory. I'll say this, and I'm no doctor and I don't know, but I would say probably none of us are in danger of running out of the memory that we have up here when it comes to the Bible verses that should be in here and in here. I think God probably gave us plenty of storage room that we would never say, I've learned too much and I need to stop. I can't hold it anymore. Now, you might try to learn it. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, I wanted to learn it all overnight. You can't do that either. You have to space it out. Here's the thing about God. It's a relationship that you don't have in just a few minutes, and then once you have it, then you have it. The relationship is to endure the entire span of your life and then on into eternity. That's the way God has it set up. It's not just a flip of a switch. When thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, this pretty much covers every part of the day. I'll be honest, there's times it's like, for me, I like to wind down, like senselessness, I guess you'd say. I'll lay down right before I go to bed, and you know, I'll look at my phone a little bit, and brain's like, how can you watch that right before bed and not wind down? I'm like, well, that's how I wind down. Well, that's not good for you, because screen time's not good for you. Being on the screen too much, you know, it hinders your sleep. It don't allow you to sleep as good as you're supposed to. It's like, I used to work shift work, and we have the dark curtains, and we left those. I like that. I like it to be completely dark when I go to sleep. Because if it's light, I feel like I'm supposed to be up. And so we have that all blocked off and everything, but you know, I've never really thought about it, but that stuff, it can mess with your algorithms of sleep. You know how important sleep is? When I was on shift work, I really started to learn how important sleep really is, because I felt like I never could get enough. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning, depending on which shift I was on. I was foggy headed, and I never felt like I was myself, who I felt like I was supposed to be. Shift work was very hard. It's hard on the body. You know, I look at it like this. If I was the devil and I really wanted to mess with people and their memories, I wouldn't let them sleep good. You know, that's probably one of the biggest topics of conversation at work or what have you. And usually one of the first things Brandy and I say to each other is, man, I slept really good last night. Or I didn't sleep good at all. You think, what's going on? You carrying some kind of stresses? Or was it too hot, too cold? Many kind of variables. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you this. You know what the number one cause, based off of Google, take it for what it's worth, seems reliable to me. You know what the number one cause of reversible memory loss is? Sleep deprivation. Not getting enough sleep. Not getting in the bed on time. Not sleeping good. You know, I know people have different situations, circumstances, but I tell you, it's important to get a good night's sleep. God created us that way. We're supposed to shut down and shut off for a while. Our minds are still going, but it's important that we shut down for a while. I'll ask you this. When is the last time you memorized something? Was it in school when you had to? When's the last time you memorized something because you wanted to? I'll ask it like that. Now, I remember in school, we had to do the Lord's Prayer in Old English in Miss Nance's class. I can't do it now. I can't remember. I remember part of the beginning of it. But you had to do it. It was a pass-fail grade, and you had to recite that right there to her. Pass-fail. And if you was teetering, that could be enough to, you're going to do this again. I passed. I was out and everything. But it was kind of interesting. But you had to learn it not just in the way we talk, but in Old English. And I remember things like that. I remember some of the classes in law enforcement that we took, and it's like, I've got to do this because my job depends on it. It's important that I know this. One of the most recent things I thought about too, Sister Chelsea, was those insurance exams. Our job depended on this. And a lot of this stuff don't make sense. Common sense is one thing. When you can take logic and just say, logically, this makes sense. But some of these things defy logic. They don't make any sense at all. I remember going through, like with the drone license, that kind of thing. I wanted that. I studied for a couple of months, and I tried to memorize that. I wanted to knock it out of the park because I was interested in it. Sometimes you do things because you have to. Sometimes there's things that you do because you want to. I want to give you this right here. The number one reason why people memorize things, I looked this up. I wanted to kind of see what was out there. The number one reason why people memorize things is to build a foundation for deep understanding and critical thinking. To me, the way I translate that is, if how would God know that I'm taking His word serious when He sees me spending time around it, not just reading it, saying that was good, reading it to somebody else, that was good, and closing it and then putting it back somewhere. But if I take that and I put it in here, God knows that I am being serious about that thing. God knows that you're being serious about that thing. He's like, wait a minute. This person is actually wanting to use my word. They're reverting it to memory. Why would you revert it to memory unless you wanted to use it? A deeper level, a deeper understanding. So I looked this up because I really wanted to kind of, again, count the cost for us. So I was wondering, like, how long it would take to memorize something. It said here, a few minutes for a short list or to several days or weeks for complex material to learn it. But I thought, how long, Brother Curtis, would it take for me, on average, to learn just the standard verse? Anybody else want to throw a stab at it? You can talk. Anybody want to throw a guess? How many minutes do you think? How long do you think it would take? I said minutes. Could be hours. I might throw you off there. How long do you think it would take you to memorize a verse? See, preacher, now you're cutting into my time. See, we're back to the time part. A lot of times what we'll do in counting the cost, we'll automatically say, I don't have time to take on anything else. Too busy as it is, I can't take on anything else. I have my devotion time. I thought this was interesting. A Bible verse. Google, take it for what it's worth. Google says it takes 5 to 15 minutes a day for a single verse. 5 to 15 minutes a day. That's not much, is it? That's not that long. Anybody here not have 5 to 15 minutes a day? So I even looked at it a little bit further. So if you'd look at it for a year, that's 260 minutes to 780 minutes a year. Now minutes, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? That's 4 to 13 hours per year. Per year. To learn a verse. You think about trying to learn one verse per week. I'm not even talking about learning one per day, but one per week. 52 verses a year that you would have cataloged right here. You think it's worth it? 5 minutes a day? 15 minutes a day? To build a foundation, to have a greater understanding of what we're supposed to have in our hearts? I'm hurrying along. Meditation on the word brings blessing. Joshua 1:8, it says this here. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It's not just reading it, but it's reverting it to memory. Here's the problem. Here's the problem that you might find yourself in. If you're trying to do this, you might say, I want to read the Bible through every year, and you should. I highly recommend that. That way you will know what's in there and what's not in there. But I'll tell you this also, if you're reading the Bible through every year, you're not reverting all of that to memory. You're kind of cataloging a little bit of an index. You're like, okay, this is in there, and I've heard people say this, but it's not in there. You need to know what's not in there also. So reading is very valuable, but when you're talking about this here, this even goes beyond devotional time. This goes on to, I'm going to read this word, this verse, word by word, until I revert it to memory in my heart. See, that's what meditation really means. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I don't know anybody that doesn't want a prosperous or successful way. The Bible teaches us that. When you start applying what the Word of God says, it's great to have the manual, it's great to have to know where it's at, but it's better to have it in your heart and know in that moment what you're supposed to do, what it says. You never know how much you need the Word of God until you need it, until you need it in your lives, and we all need it. We never get past that. The words of Christ should dwell in us. Colossians 3:16, look what it says here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell, it means to live in you. Not in our Bibles, not at home, but in you. Richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That kind of made me go back to the Little House on the Prairie days. That's what they were doing. One of the last shows we saw, that's what they were doing. They were singing and dancing, having a good time. It's like, man, people don't carry on like that today. But they were just happy with what they had, and they were firm in their foundation of what the Bible teaches and what it says. And that word admonishing one another, that means to warn or notify of a fault. It's correction. It's gentle correction. It's counseling against wrong. It's instruction. You and I are supposed to instruct one another. And here's what this is talking about in the home. It supersedes anything in our school system, and it even supersedes what we're doing here in church. It starts at home. I tell you what, I promise you this. What our children see take on here is good. As long as it's being done decently in order, like the way the Bible teaches it is supposed to be. That's great. But you know what they're going to be most influenced by? What you do at home. Regardless of what takes place up here. What you do as mom and dad spending your time doing is what they're going to see as the most valuable thing that they're supposed to do. That's how they're going to look at it. That's just how we are and how we're designed. And I'll say this here, and I'm getting ready to close. When Christ was tempted, I love this about the Bible. It's something you probably already heard and already know. Anytime Jesus was tempted, anytime Jesus faced something from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the devil himself, you know what he returned? Most often the next things that were said is, as it is written. That was his defense. That is our defense, is the Word of God. A lot of times if we feel defenseless, it's because we've not taken on that armor. That's on us. God has provided that for us. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That puts it on the plane of, the Word of God is just as, if not more important than the food that we eat. We don't eat, we die. We don't eat spiritual food, we die spiritually. And again, the devil came at a time when Jesus was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. When's the last time you went 40 days? 48 hours is enough. Colonoscopy people right there. 48 hours is enough. 40 days, Satan came to him tempting him. And what did he do? Jesus didn't say, you know what, I am pretty hungry. And people would understand under these circumstances, I hadn't eaten 40 days, I give in. He didn't. He fired right back with the Word of God. There's nothing more powerful than that. And when we look at things and put things in perspective, the most important thing you and I could be memorizing, and it goes without saying, is the Word of God. But how much time do we spend doing that? I've got other statistics that I could read and I could look at, but I know time's ticking. I'm right on. I've got 5 minutes. I'll hurry up with my closing here. This is something that was laid on my heart. I was hoping more of our young people would be here today because I really thought about them. There's something that's really special. Different ones have come to me, especially after our Wednesday nights too, Brother Bill, Sister Sharon. They'll come to me and they'll say, "You want to hear what I learned?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to hear what you learned." They'll tell me. Little Lucy, she'll come to me and she'll quote Bible verse after Bible verse. Brother Patrick, I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. Well, she put the time in to learn how to do it. And here's my thing. This is my challenge. This is the challenging part. And it's nothing that we have to do in front of the church, but I'm not against it if you wanted to. I think it would be good at first. My thoughts, I told Brandy, I've been praying about it. I don't know how to actually put it out there, but I think it'd be good to challenge us, keep us on our toes. Here's the thing. I know when church comes around, I got to be ready before church comes here, before church gets here. And every single one of us need to have that same mentality. We got to be ready. It's church time. And I was thinking, what if some of our littles wanted to one-on-one challenge somebody throughout the week, say, hey, Sister Mary Ellen, I want you and I to learn this Bible verse this week. And let them pick it out. Let them pick out the adult that they would like to challenge for that week. And I got to thinking, I don't want to leave all the fun to them. Maybe there's an adult that wants to challenge one of our littles. Now be careful. So, hey, let's learn this Bible. Let's learn this Bible verse this week. Be ready next Sunday. You don't have to say it in front of everybody, but if you feel brave enough and you want to, you can. Just say, hey, I want to challenge you. I want you and I to learn this verse together. And then next Sunday, I'll quote it to you and you quote it to me. That's what the Bible's teaching. That's what it teaches for us in our families. This is a church family. You know, if we, I'm just really thinking, and I don't know of any unity, nothing like that. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm thinking, you know, how special would it be if our youngest and some of our oldest came together and learned Bible verses together? That would have to be a unifying thing. You'd have to be ready. You have to be ready. But I'm going to stop with that right there. I'm going to close with that. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Sister Alice, if she will, to come to the instrument. I always want to give a time of invitation. I don't know.